And welcome back, people. You're now listening to the Funded by Plus Impact podcast. I'm your host, Rasmus, and we're here with our fifth episode featuring Richard Engstrom, founder of The One Initiative, the global gateway for Nordic impact startups. Tune in to hear how Richard advises impact startups to sell themselves thoroughly towards investors, what the impact ecosystem really needs from VCs, and so much more from the super rich conversation that we had. And as always, make sure you subscribe to our podcast, get really comfortable, and enjoy this episode.
Welcome to our next episode of Funded by Plus Impact. We're here today at Blux Recording Studio with Richard Engstrom, who is our guest. And he is a key player or a key element of the impact ecosystem. And that's why we wanted to have him with us today. Can you tell us a little bit about what you're doing, Richard, and what projects you're involved in?
Yeah, maybe I see myself a little bit as an interface between different players in this ecosystem and also maybe the Nordics and the rest of the world. But I'd like to start a little bit on where this started, because I had a good conversation back in June 2015 at the Danish political festival and on the matters of social entrepreneurs and how we could help them to be better at what they're doing. So there was a group of people at the workshop for a day there, and we talked a little bit about on how could you emphasize their proposition in the market so that they'll be better building a business and also match them with capital somehow. And that was a very good conversation. I kind of took on that idea and then started to work a little bit on that and started to talk with people in Denmark and Sweden and Norway and further on Finland, and somehow talking about could this be a market in the future somehow. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's no doubt that being here today in November 2000, it is a market, and it's a growing market somehow. Mm-hmm. Like the startup market has been around for maybe say 25 years or so since the internet or the World Wide Web was launched. Mm-hmm. There's been a big growth there.
Yeah.
So I think that that's a little bit where I come from. And I'm tried always to be ambitious on understanding and get the data in place to understand what are those companies actually and what are they doing and how can they improve the world and is there a business case around them, and at the same time understand where are investors' interest and also approach and intentions in this, and also by time, what kind of results do we see from investments in this space? Mm-hmm. And then evolved to a small team and a small company that try to do a lot of analysis and work. So we've done some analysis on the impact startups for some years, especially very well together with Plus Impact and Danske Bank, and we've done some of the first impact investing reports in the Nordics, and we have a Nordic Impact Business Summit coming up here in December the 9th, which we started out with last year in June in the old stock exchange in Copenhagen. Now we'll be online, obviously, with the pandemic challenges, and I think that the involvement of this is actually where I understood that we need to be better to educate ourselves in this matter and do that jointly. So we have started out since this summer to work with impact business modeling and help some startups in a few different accelerators. We don't actually to how to understand that problem they work with.
Mm. And what do you mean by impact business modeling?
Well, it's very much about, as we see it, three things. Mm-hmm. So it's actually about the impact mapping to understand actually what you do.
Yeah.
I'll get back into more details. And then it's the impact tracking to understand on how do you show that evidence on what you do, that it gives a meaning. Mm-hmm. And then it's obviously to have a market fit and to scale your impact. So when we work with impact mapping, it's very much about try to, first of all, set a goal and understand on what is that future that you like to see. What does it look like? Not necessarily that solution you're working on right now, but what is that future you want to see?
Yeah.
Because if you cannot see that, I think it's hard to make changes in the world. Mm-hmm. But when you see that, and you might have started on ideation or even a piece of technology on a problem, you have to look at the causes to that problem. So you actually see if there is a problem like food waste, for instance.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There are many causes to food waste. I mean, we can sit there for hours and talk about why is there so much food waste. It's everything from not having cool supply chain where things are produced, or how logistics or transports or the way we consume food. I mean, there's so many things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you really have to understand many of those to find maybe one or two of those causes that you start to work on. Mm-hmm. So you can change that effect of those causes and set some outcomes you like to achieve. So that's very much about the mapping. Mm-hmm. So making that theory of change on what are we actually working on.
Yeah.
And then if when you have that, then you can work on that tracking, which is very much about impact measurements. But for us, it starts very much about understanding, okay, how do I show evidence of that theory of change, that piece of technology or product I bring to the market? And that is very much about try to understand what kind of metrics, what kind of impact, but maybe also what kind of commercial metrics do I work with? Mm-hmm. How much food waste do I reduce? Not only how much, but what does it cost to reduce it? So if you have a proposition like Too Good To Go for a retailer, you also have to consider what is the cost to run that application with the end users and with the retailers in integration and follow-up and organization and so on. And then you can actually start to do some metrics so you know what indicators.
Yeah.
And then you can start to collect the data that's needed. And if you do that, then you might be able to measure it and show that evidence, that theory of change, that course you want to work on, you can actually show that evidence. Mm-hmm. And then when you have started to show that evidence, then you can work with the scaling and what we call a little bit a impact market fit. So you can actually have an idea on what is the motivation with your customers on the impact. Mm-hmm. Are they seriously interested in and changing behavior? Or are they more interested in picking up a new application that can help them make revenues? Mm-hmm. And you can look at your own character as a company. Are you a company that are focusing on the solution?
Yeah.
Maybe you've fallen in love with a piece of technology that can help reduce food. Or are you digging more into the problem? Or are you over here trying to generate a lot of income revenues for yourself or for that retailer? Or could you combine really digging into the problem and revenues and maybe then be impact driven?
Yeah.
So this is a way of thinking on yourself to really reflect on what you do. And it doesn't stop with a course for a week or so at a sudden. You have to do this all the time, because when you start to change behavior with customers and yourself and end users, you will see new footprints of what you do, or new challenges in behavior that you like
that
to,
also needs to be solved.
Come over.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So I mean, even if we find today and invest in a lot of technologies that improves the world, new things will happen that we haven't foreseen. Good
of
things,
course.
Obviously, but also things that we have not foreseen.
Yeah.
So we have also to try to have feedback loops in our technology and in our product with our customers and the market, and maybe also a lot of other stakeholders like governments and so on, so we can improve all the time. So we think that this is the thinking. Mm-hmm. And if small companies or companies in innovation is good at that, then they also educate the investors to try to understand that this is part of the puzzle.
Yeah, so having like a clear theory of change, as you mentioned, might also help like telling like the real story and how they actually are going to solve it, right? Mm-hmm.
And I could see that as very helpful as well, since that the impact space is still like a growing matter.
But I wonder how much receptivity is there with the investors, because you're talking about educating investors, but at the same time, when you go to an investor, you're going to ask for capital and money, and maybe educating them is maybe like a nice to have, but when you're in need of capital, how do you deal with that?
I mean, look at the world around us. Mm-hmm. We have to be ambitious, so we have to help each other. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a need to have, really. We can see from, we're coming out with our second edition of the Impact Report Nordic Investors at our summit, the 9th of December, we presented there. And we see a lot of different things. But one thing that we see is actually, we asked on what do investors look at when investing for impact?
Yeah.
It was all the way from scalability and commercial things like financial rewards and so on, to the other angle about I look for things that are measurable or scientific, proven, or data.
Mm-hmm.
And we can see from those, and not all those have participated in our survey are long-term impact investors, but some are also. And we can see still that they say scalability, financial return, and especially, which I think is most interesting, is that where I can bring in experience.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And look, in that good ecosystem we have around startups in the Nordics and in all of the world for 25 years, most private investors, like business angels or venture funds, most are people that have themselves built companies like that, made money, and like to give back and invest that. And obviously, and I don't blame them. This is just where we are. Obviously, they have that experience. That's the way to look at innovation and technology and teams and companies. Where can you scale? How can you grow? What are the conditions in a certain market or in a vertical? And where can I, as investor, if I've been in fintech or I've made things in SaaS or in media or whatever, how can I bring that understanding into the puzzle? So I can help them not only with capital, but all those parts that comes to impact, we have not investigated so much of that. And if the founders who might be more alert to change themselves and change the world, I think they have to train themselves also how to educate investors. I had a good conversation yesterday with a VC fund in Sweden who work with climate and called Pale Blue Dot. And I think that Hampus said something very, very thoughtful. That is that we have to use those three magic words. I don't know. We have to understand as investors that we are incomplete, that we don't understand all the pieces of the puzzle.
Yeah.
And you know, climate changes and climate solutions are very complex. But even if you get into certain things like food waste or whatever we're talking, it's still very complex. So you have to be humble and admit that you're incomplete. And that is a way to get over it, I think, is actually to start ask questions. So I think on the other side, if some founders and startups might not have their guts or don't know how to, you can say, foster or educate investors, I'd like to see investors admit more that I don't know and ask more questions and be more critical to that solution or that company and look into scientific reports and etc. And also on their own limits. If they really want to do this, that's the way I think we have to go.
How do you see that development through like the last couple of years in the Nordic impact space for investors?
I say that there, I mean, not only the trend, I think there's a big act also in the Nordics. And I also think we have a prerequisite to do that as a region. We can get back to that later because I think we have a lot of not only opportunities but also obligations from our part of the world towards towards challenges. But I can see that the interest is rising, and more are talking about it and engaging in it and try to understand. But I still think that too many investors might be a little bit too sure on their case that they actually know how what to invest in when it comes to a company and a team and how to scale and make good money out of it. And I think we have to challenge ourselves there. That is one thing. Another thing is that I think that if we look at some front runners like we have in Denmark, the Social Capital Fund, or we look at Norrsken in Stockholm or Catapult in Norway or some of the others, which are doing good and they really challenge themselves and the world. I still think that we need to see more venture funds that are niched into certain areas of problems. Because there are not only a lot of things we have to solve, there are also a lot of startups and good solutions. But since those funds are not niched into some areas, they might be a little bit too generic in how they assess those. I mean, I know they, because I know them, I know they assess the companies in the same way, but they assess things like climate solutions and food waste and agri solutions and transparency solutions and water improvement pretty much in the same way, in the same way. I know also that they look into some scientific data, some of them, but I think that we could actually emphasize this and see can someone like Vækstfonden in Denmark or Almi in Sweden, their fund of fund managers, could they invest money into new venture funds that have specific areas, because then they can have a mandate to dig deeper into that understanding. So maybe the right solutions are actually the one that are invested in. Maybe not only the experienced teams or the one who have a good growth case.
What do you think the impact startups actually can do other than, of course, building the impact case? But what are maybe one of some of the essential things right now in order to improve their business model to investors?
I mean, I don't think I'm a wizard on that, and I also think that they should work and seek help as other startups towards, you could say that maybe that vertical they are in, if it's in with health or fintech or SaaS or whatever it is, and also seek investors and seek help and seek experience in that. In that certain sector, and then what they could be really strong on, or maybe to be better on understanding the problems in that sector and around their solution. I mean, I don't think that they can build their business case in another way, not necessarily.
No,
but I think they can improve on working on the right problems, and be thorough there, because if they do that, they can show evidence. And then then the investors who are not so educated or trained yet can have help to invest in the right things. I mean, if you look in the Nordics, from Danske Bank's good reports that have been done, we work on local income, high income market problems. We work on health, well-being. We work on renewable energy. We work on responsible consumption and production. We work on smart cities and also innovation infrastructure. So that's what we work on. But if you look at something like Project Drawdown, which is a huge project that's been going on for quite some years.
Can you explain a little bit more what this is?
Yeah, Project Drawdown is a project out of Berkeley, I imagine, in the US. And they have worked for many years with scientists to understand actually what areas of solutions or problems actually have the largest footprint in the world.
Mm-hmm.
But not only, they have also looked on what is the potential to improve. Even if there are some problems that are the largest, it might be hard to not as big as potential to improve them. And if you look at that in the world, some of the problems that are actually both have a large impact on our world and have a big potential. That are things like silver pasting, actually how you work with land and forestry.
Mm-hmm.
It's about women, young women get educated. It's about things like refrigeration and air conditioners all over the world. It's something like that so many hundreds of millions of people use charcoal in their small houses or cottages for cooking.
Yeah.
And if you look at Nordic startups, that's not what they work on.
No.
And I don't blame them. Because, I mean, it's easy enough to, the problem I see in the world that I can feel on my own body and where I am, it's obviously things around you.
Yeah, it's but more tangible.
But that also, if many companies work on that, then also some investors get a little bit misguided on actually, they think that this is what we have to change and work on.
Yeah.
But it's not. So I also think that that is a fact that we have to take in, that there are actually not only that project. I mean, there are also a lot of scientific work on things. And we don't really take time enough to look at it and try to understand it.
Yeah.
Because we might be a little bit afraid to admit that we are incomplete and don't ask that question or say those words that I don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it also that we maybe in the Nordics focus on those issues because we also see them still as profitable, therefore bringing in investors? Like maybe focusing on those problems in emerging markets is not interesting for an investor because it's also less profitable potentially.
Yeah.
So there is still this profit tied to impact, it seems like, and it's difficult to get away from it because that's also how the market works.
Yeah. Scientific work and commercial work might not rhyme so very well all the time, but I think we have to investigate that more and try to work harder on that. But on the other hand, I don't think that that is true in all senses. There are a lot of activities in emerging markets on big problems that are solved with business.
Mm-hmm.
But I know it's a world that you. Most of us don't understand and know anything about and don't have prerequisites to act there because of culture and language and stakeholder mapping and so on.
Yeah.
But I think we have to be a little bit more ambitious and do that because there have been for, say, 50 years, maybe more, a lot of NGOs in corporate partnerships that have worked on infrastructure, schools, energy, water, a lot of different things.
Yeah.
And they have succeeded in probably as much as we succeed with our small solutions the last 25 years in that startup ecosystem. So I'm not so sure that you can, and I cannot guarantee what I'm saying now is right, but I'm not so sure that it's not about you cannot make money. I mean, there are different Danish companies that make good money also in African context, if you take that, or Nordic companies. So I think it's more like that we act on what we see and what we feel, and where we are is much a factor of that.
Of course.
So do you think that the ecosystem is heading that way, or where do you think we're moving right now, if we think in the Nordics?
I think there is a few different things going on. I think that we are getting more and more people engaged in entrepreneurship and also for doing good. I also think that we have more investors try to jump into this and understand it. I also think that outside of the Nordics, on a global level, we're getting some strong organizations now that actually try to help Universal on this. It's like the Impact Management Project, for instance. We have now five dimensions and ABC and four ways of contribution, which is like a tool and a framework for how actually investors, but also companies can work with that impact. And at the same time, I think that there is a little problem also, because which we have to overcome somehow. You know, when the SDGs came around in the fall 2015, after that, they followed a report. I can remember if it was 16 or 17, maybe 17, called Better Business, Better World, which is a large coalition of different partners, corporates and interest organizations and others, who really try to map out on what areas of business could you work with to improve things in the world for the SDGs. And those are the one who quoted this, I don't even remember now, is it 12 or 18 trillion dollars opportunity to go into. And that obviously have led a lot of corporates and also investors and startups that, wow, this is a big opportunity here. But I think we have to think reverse, because because that is actually, then we are saying, what can sustainability do for me? And I think we have to change that. We have to say, what can I do for sustainability? Because I think that if we only see it as an opportunity to make business, then we're still here. Scalability, financial return, what kind of expertise do I have that I can plug in to make more money out of my money that I have right now? If I don't ask myself, what can I do for sustainability, then I don't start to ask questions on my own understanding and behavior. And then I don't go into scientific data and impact measurement and things like Project Drawdown and other things. So I think that we must be a little bit cautious also to say that, wow, there are 17 development goals and they are structured in 169 targets, and there is a lot of components to that, and it's a big business opportunity. And I think we should be cautious to always say that. We should also see, okay, so what is it that I can do for improving this, instead of how can it improve my business potential?
But you advise startups on how to get funding, is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, we do it in that way where we have that Nordic Impact Business Summit, and then we'll pick out this Nordic Top 50 impact companies.
To pitch, is that correct?
It's not a pitch, we're working with a roundtable format. So actually, we have, now it'll be online, but there will be one founder sitting with 2 to 4 investors at the same time, because then you get a more holistic discussion. It's not so much about what can I get from you or what can you get from me. It's more of a discussion on how can we work with this case on the business side and on the financing side. And then you also build coalitions between investors that have interest in the same cases. And, you know, all investors, early stage, they always work together. That's why we have around 50 business angel networks in the Nordic. That's why Vækstfonden in Denmark have a strategy to do that. So that's the way we work. But in the advice, we try to be very data-driven. So we have those companies to actually fill out a pretty thorough form. And some are picked out, some are not picked out for our summit. But we'll match some in between that. And I think that we are very thorough, not only on their solution and their business, but that they also are thorough on actually what is that future they would like to see, and what is that problem they're working on, and how is that how can you show evidence that you can change that problem to the better. So we ask very much about that kind of impact data, impact statement, impact reports, and so on.
And that's what they're selected upon, basically.
That's selected upon. I mean, they're selected all over of also their commercial viability. So it's a mix of the commercial viability and the impactability or the scalability in that.
Yeah.
And I think that the only advice we do is actually that they have to be thorough in both. I mean, they have to work a little bit harder than startups. They don't want to necessarily improve the world because they have two layers to what they do.
Yeah.
And how much do they need to talk about this impact layer to an investor who maybe doesn't understand it yet?
Some don't have to tell so much about it. Some have to tell a lot about it. It's very much about what kind of investor it is. I think that when it comes to private investors like business angels, there are some that are looking into that pretty much. And but I think when you come to venture funds, they are more thorough on that.
Yeah.
And we can also see from that that report we are launching this year that there is a difference between institutional investors, and those would be venture funds or growth funds or family offices and so on, and individual investors like business angels and private equity investors, that the institutional kind of investors, they set more focus on such things as documentation of the problem, evidence that the solution can do changes there.
Mm-hmm.
And they also have, you know, they have a little bit more muscles because they are more an organization.
Yeah.
They might have a specific mandate to do that. So they have to be better on that. So I think it's a little bit also that if you talk with single private investors, then advice would be to try to gather investors together so they co-invest in what you do and be very good at working with business angel networks or like in Denmark or other places. And if you go to VC funds, then you have to be a little bit more thorough on your impact case as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's good advice.
Do we have time for one more question? Or
I mean, I think we are over the limit actually already.
Yes, maybe.
But if you have a last question.
But I think you already kind of covered that now. Would you have any other key advice to give impact startups looking for funding right now? It's pretty broad. But if you have anything else in mind.
I think they should stick to what they do.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously we know everyone what has happened the last 9 months with COVID, and you can see a new layer of digitalization in our behavior.
That's
so
true.
Obviously, they have to think a little bit about that component, not necessarily because COVID probably would be around forever.
Mm-hmm.
We will probably
we'll
live with that, but that has also trained us all that digital solutions are actually not so unadaptable.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can think in that layer, then I think you have a stronger case, and not only through COVID, but also after COVID, because we're all taking a leap. I mean, even people and kids on taking a leap there. So I think that would be my advice.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe I want to round off saying something totally different.
Yes.
Because I am a man of, have many things on my heart. But I wanted to say something that I heard from another investor that I also thought was very thoughtful to say that, which I also believe that, I mean, we have a climate crisis and there are big problems with biodiversity and so on, but I think that also the inequality in the world is actually a big factor to all that.
Yeah.
Because we're living in a world who for many years and still say more wants more.
Yeah.
And I think that if you look at the Nordics, we have been very strong on entrepreneurship and technology the last 25 years. And we have really pushed some strong new companies out in the world that have not only been recognized, but also have grown largely. So we are very strong in that and have a good learning and tradition for that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you really look at what we do as a society on like a 100-year horizon backwards in time, this might be the most equal part of the world. I mean, we balance about 50% of everything we make of revenues, we distribute to help each other.
Yeah.
Health, education, infrastructure, anything. So we know very much about how to build equal society. So I think that if we should do really invest in something, we should invest more in understanding on how can such a, what do you say, a format as Nordic countries in equality actually been sliced down to a lot of different solutions, not only technology that actually can maybe improve parts of the world in different different ways. And even we might must admit that it's an obligation to do that, I think.
Yeah, and entrepreneurship is a beautiful way to also share those values into the world.
Exactly.
Yeah. Absolutely. Thank you so much for being with us and sharing your thoughts and insights.
It was a pleasure hosting you, and thank you for
thanks a lot for
coming
for having
in.
Me.
Yes.
Good conversation.
Yeah. And of course, also good luck on the summit.
Yes.
Thanks
coming 9th of December.
You are always invited.
Thank you so much.